Montana.
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Hannah. Ruby. Hi, Ruby.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Doing good, thank you.
Okay. I'm going to mute my phone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the end of the chorus. Another chorus, Gedula Chimin Sa Tati Zerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sad Benu Kaharenu No ra kufre shayan sintet nun. Na gibor dor shehudcha kivavat sham reim. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem kacharem rachame sitkacha. Tamid gam leim. Tet reish tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh verotuvcha nael adata. Tet kufbet tet nunayin. Yachid geye lamcha penei Zokre kidushata Yud Gimelamed, Hezayim Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh, that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation to Umim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion spells the Hebrew word Raz, which means secret. Secret as in something needs to be concealed. What is the energy that needs to be concealed in Sivan? Something for you to think about. Shavadenu kabel u'shmati akatenu yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyotah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'Ermet Notze Chesed La'alafim Notze Awon Wafesha V'chata'a V'nakei. Now we're going to connect to the year of the goat, which is the year 5777, and we do that by studying two verses from the Tanakh. The first verse is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, and we will begin with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabrichu ishkinke bitchilu urchimu utchilu utchilu urchimu Leachta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konanehu Tzod Zaduni Katzipor Oyevai Chinam. This verse has five words. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of each word, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words. Dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. The name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed in this verse. And the letters of the name of the verse are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Eloheichem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The energy of the year 5776, the year of the pause, also has two verses that we study. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Racha kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelo tam lacha yad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei leval lehitkadesh. Meha Kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them or permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Rekacha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Adead kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tsurolamim. The year 5775, the year that death is swallowed up, there are three verses. The first verse we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halachti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti O Tob Kol Alfei Yehuda. The third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo Lanetzach Yoved Roav Yom Ruayo. The year 5774, the energy of which is peace in the Middle East. We have one verse and only one verse that has this energy in the Tanakh. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael, u Unta tivusha tan. Tav tav vilo yirgaz. Od vilo yosifu. Pene avla le anoto. Kasher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, that has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bekamatar, Hanenan, Teku Chabarifu, Koma Diaved, Leila, Witata Kola Ihu, Dishot, Yovada, Dishot, Belay lach mi la bi alma divae, Parnash le dachia, le aminea, Ulan hagabea, kalana de hakulu, Ovada dikshot, inun vikola, itsteris bi alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God, and as we discussed Sunday morning, we're doing it in a more expansive way because we're about to enter the energies of Tammuz and then Av, which are two of the three most negative months of the year, and we will need to elevate our actions and our mitzvot and our connections, hopefully to ameliorate, to minimize this negative energy as we come to the end of the year. So the way we're doing that is to say out loud the letters, but it takes too long to do all of the names, so we're just doing one row at a time. And so today we will scan the first row and do this action on the second row. So please begin. Hey Zayo Alada Lawa Hey Hey Yozala Maybe Hey Hey Rayo Hey Kome. Now continue scanning. If you have the time to do it each day, or whenever you have the time, you should scan the whole 72 name chart. Now we're going to scan the Tzaddikim chart in the same way. Please scan the first row. Hey, 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 yo, anu da, la, hey, wa, hey, mea, yo, tsa, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me. Please continue scanning. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 19th day of Sivan, Rabbi Yehuda ibn Attar, a famous Sephardic sage, lived about 300 years ago. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Mordechai Hominer, and Rabbi Yehuda ibn Ezra. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. The title of this essay is The Introduction to the Book of Zohar. This is our second class in this book. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 16 on the right-hand column. When you open that link up, it gives you a list of all of the essays. And if you scroll down to essay number 30-A, when that opens up, it opens up to section 10, which is where we left off last week when we did this class. Does anybody have any questions before I begin? Now we can begin to understand the fourth inquiry. How is it possible that the chariot of impurity and the klipot would emerge from his holiness? Since it is at the other end of his holiness. And also, how can it be that he supports and sustains it? Indeed, first we must understand the meaning of the existence of impurity and klipot. Know that this great will to receive, which we determined was the very essence of the souls by creation or of creation, for which they are fit to receive the entire filling in the thought of creation, does not stay in that form within the souls. If it had, they would have to remain eternally separated from him, because the disparity of form in them would separate from him. And in order to mend that separation, which lays on the kli of the souls, the vessel of the souls, he created all the worlds and separated them into two systems. As in the verse, God has made them one against the other, which are the four pure worlds of Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and opposite them the four impure worlds of Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. And he imprinted the desire to bestow in the system of the pure Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and he removed the will to receive for themselves from them and placed it in the system of the impure worlds of Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Because of that, they had become separated from the Creator and from all the worlds of holiness. For that reason, the klipot are called dead, as in the verse, sacrifices of the dead, and the wicked that follow them, as our sages said, the wicked in their lives are called dead, since the will to receive imprinted in them, in oppositeness of form to his holiness, separates them from the life of lives. And they are remote from him from one end to the other. It is so because he has no interest in reception, only in bestowal, whereas the klipot want nothing of bestowal, but only to receive for themselves, for their own delight. And there is no greater oppositeness than this. And you already know that spiritual remoteness begins with some disparity of form and ends in oppositeness of form, which is the farthest possible distance in the last degree. My commentary. There is a tree of life, and its opposite, which is the Torah calls the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Each has 10 sephirot. The vessel in the endless world was created with a desire to receive. To bring the vessel closer to the light within the endless world, Rabbi Ashlag is teaching that the Creator modified the essence of the vessel to be closer to the Creator by imprinting the desire to receive in order to share on the vessel's essence of the desire to receive. Rabbi Ashlag teaches in the above section that the klipot is also a vessel with the essence of the desire to receive. These klipot, these vessels, do not have a desire to receive in order to share, but instead have an essence of the desire to receive for oneself alone. And this is helpful in understanding the process of creation as it goes from its initial state to the state of completion. That's the end of section 10. Does anyone have any questions? Section 11. In the worlds cascaded onto the reality of this corporeal physical world, to a place where there is a body and a soul, and a time of corruption and a time of correction. For the body, which is the will to receive for itself, extends from its root to the thought of creation, through the system of the impure worlds, as it is written, and a wild ass's colt is born a man. And he remains under the authority of that system for the first 13 years, which is the time of corruption. And by engaging in mitzvot from 13 years of age onwards, in order to bestow contentment upon his maker, he begins to purify the will to receive for himself that is imprinted in him, and slowly turns it to be in order to bestow. By that he extends a holy soul from its root in the thought of creation, and it passes through the system of the pure worlds and dresses in the body. This is the time of correction. And so he accumulates degrees of holiness from the thought of creation in the end soul, until they aid him in turning the will to receive for himself in him, to be entirely in the form of reception in order to bestow contentment upon his maker, and not at all for himself. By that, one acquires equivalence of form with his maker, because reception in order to bestow is regarded as pure bestowal. In Meshechet Kiddushin, it is written that with an important man she gives, and he says, by that you are sanctified. Because when his reception is in order to delight her, the giver, it is deemed absolute bestowal and giving. Thus one buys complete adhesion with him. For spiritual adhesion is but equivalence of form. As our sages said, how is it possible to cleave unto him? Rather, cleave on to his qualities. And by that, one becomes worthy of receiving all the delight and pleasure and the gentleness in the thought of creation. That's the end of section 11. Are there any questions? Section 12. Thus we have clearly explained the correction of the will to receive, imprinted in the souls by the thought of creation. For the Creator has prepared for them two systems, one opposite the other, through which the souls pass and divide into two discernments, body and soul, which dress in one another. And I am adding, do you realize that the nature of the body is the desire to receive for oneself alone? The nature of the soul is the desire to receive in order to share. This is the meaning of the above paragraph. And through Torah and mitzvot, they finally turn the form of the will to receive to be as the form of the will to bestow. And then they can receive all the goodness in the thought of creation. And along with it, they are rewarded with a solid adhesion with him. Because through the work in Torah and mitzvot, they have been rewarded with equivalents of form with their maker. This is deemed the end of correction. And then, since there will no longer be a need for the evil Sitra Achra, it will be eliminated from the earth, and death shall cease forever. And all the work in Torah and mitzvot that was given to the world during the 6,000 years of the existence of the world, and to each person for the duration of 170 years or so of life, are to bring them to the end of correction, the above-mentioned equivalence of form. The issue of the formation and the extension of the system of klipot and impurity from His Holiness has also been thoroughly clarified now. It had to be in order to extend by it the creation of the bodies, which would then be corrected through Torah and mitzvot. And if our bodies, with their corrupted will to receive, were not extended through the impure system, we would never be able to correct it. For one cannot correct that which is not in him. And I am adding, therefore, one of the purposes of the body is to correct the impure system. Initially, the body needs to first be corrected, and that is one of the purposes of the soul. That's the end of section 12. Are there any questions? Section 13. Indeed, we still need to understand how the will to receive for oneself, which is so flawed and corrupted, could extend from and be in the thought of creation, in the En Sof, whose unity is to beyond words and beyond description. The thing is that by the very thought to create the souls, his thought completed everything, for he does not need an act, as we do. He does not need a process, as we do. Instantaneously, all the souls and worlds that were destined to be created emerged filled with all the delight and pleasure and the gentleness he had planned for them. In the final perfection that the souls were intended to receive at the end of correction. After the will to receive in the souls has been fully corrected and was turned into pure bestowal in complete equivalence of form with the Creator. This is so because His eternalness, past, present, and future, are as one. The future is as the present, and there is no such thing as time in him. Hence, there was never an issue of a corrupted will to receive in its separated state, in the En Sof. On the contrary, that equivalence of form destined to be revealed at the end of correction appeared instantly in the infinite. And our sages said about that, before the world was created and there was He is one and His name one, for the separated form in the will to receive had not been revealed in the reality of the souls that emerged in the thought of creation. Rather, they were cleaved onto Him in equivalence of form by way of He is one and His name is one. That's the end of section 13. Are there any questions? Thus, you necessarily find that on the whole, there are three states to the soul. This is reading section 14. The first state is their presence in the En Sof, in the thought of creation, where they already have the future form of the end of correction. The second state is their presence in the 6,000 years which were divided by the above two systems into a body and a soul. They were given the work in Torah and mitzvot in order to invert their will to receive and turn it into a will to bestow contentment upon their maker, and not at all to themselves. During the time of that state, no correction will come to the bodies, only to the souls. This means that they must eliminate any form of self-reception, which is considered the body. Hold on a second. Come in.
Is it okay to come in? Amazon delivery?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm on a phone call. Just put this right here on the floor.
I'm a little more heavy. It'll be okay, right?
Yes. Thank you very much. I know the one to lose them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for the instructions, too. I've been here before, so thank you.
You have a good one.
Okay, well,
the door will close automatically.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Apologize for the interruption. I'll begin again at this beginning of this paragraph. During the time of that state, which is state two, no correction will come to the bodies, only to the souls. This means that they must eliminate any form of self-reception, which is considered the body, and remain with but a desire to bestow, which is the form of desire in the souls. Even the souls of the righteous will not be able to rejoice in the Garden of Eden after their demise, but only after their bodies rot in the dust. And the third state is the end of correction of the souls, after the revival of the dead. At that time, the complete correction will come to the bodies. Also, for then they will turn reception for themselves, which is the form of the body, to take on the form of pure bestowal, and they will become worthy of receiving for themselves all the delight and pleasure and pleasantness in the thought of creation. And with all that, they will attain strong adhesion by the force of their equivalence of form with their maker, since they will not receive all that because of their desire to receive, but because of their desire to bestow contentment upon their maker, since he derives pleasure when they receive from him. And for the purpose of brevity, from now on, I will use the names of these three states, namely first state, second state, and third state. And you should remember all that is explained here in every state. That's the end of section 14. Any questions? Section 15. I know you're learning, you're hearing things new for the first time. So it may take you some time to absorb this, but it's amazing. Section 15. When you examine the above three states, you will find that one completely necessitates the other in a way that if one were to be canceled, the others would be canceled also. If, for example, the third state, the conversion of the form of reception to the form of bestowal in the body, had not materialized, it is certain that the first state in the endless world would never have been able to emerge. It is because the perfection materialized there, only because the future third state was already there, as though it is in the present. And all the perfection that was pictured there in that state is like a reflection from the future into the present. But if the future could be canceled, there would not be any present. Thus, the third state necessitates the existence of the first. All the more so when something is canceled in the second state, where there is all the work that is destined to be completed in the third state. The work in corruptions and corrections and the continuance of the degrees of the souls. Thus, how will the third state come to be? Hence, the second state necessitates the existence of the third state. And so it is with the existence of the first state in the endless world, where the perfection of the third state resides. It definitely necessitates that it will be adapted, meaning that the second and third states will appear in complete perfection, no less and no more in any way. Thus, the first state itself necessitates the expansion of two corresponding systems in the second state to allow the existence of a body in the will to receive, corrupted by the system of impurity, thus enabling us to correct it. And had there not been a system of impure worlds, we would not have that will to receive, and we would not be able to correct it and come to the third state, for one cannot correct that which is not in him. Thus, we need not ask how the impure system came to be from the first state, for it is the first state that necessitates its existence in the form of the second state. My commentary. The En Sof is state one. There is no difference between En Sof ever. There's no changes in En Sof. Therefore, the spiritual work that is performed in state two serves a purpose to bring all aspects of the desire to receive to be in unity with the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Therefore, state three seems to be different than state one, but that cannot actually be true. This is what is not understood about the En Sof world. That's the end of section 15. Section 16. Therefore, one must not wonder at how it was that the choice had been taken from us, since we must be completed and come to the third state, since it is already present in the first. The thing is that there are two ways that the Creator has set for us in the second state to bring us to the third state. There is the path of keeping Torah and mitzvot, or the path of suffering. The path of suffering. Since the pain itself purifies the body and will eventually compel us to invert our will to receive into the form of a will to bestow and cleave to him, it is as our sages said, if you repent, good. And if not, I will place over you a king such as Haman, and he will force you to repent. Our sages said about the verse, I will hasten it in its time. If they are rewarded, I will hasten it, and not in its time. This means that if we are granted through the first path by keeping Torah and mitzvot, we thus hasten our correction, and we do not need the harsh agony and the long time needed to experience them. So they will compel us to reform. And if not, in its time, meaning only when the suffering will complete our correction and the time of correction will be forced upon us. On the whole, the path of suffering is also the punishments of the souls in hell. And I am adding, Rabbi Ashlag is teaching that the path of suffering is always cleansing and not related to crowing the desire to receive, which is a significant part of the process of tikkun, and after the tikkun is completed. But in any case, the end of correction, the third state, is mandatory because of the first state. Our choice is only between the path of suffering and the path of Torah and mitzvot. Thus, we have thoroughly clarified how the three states of the souls are interconnected and necessitate one another. Are there any questions? Section 17. From all of the above, we thoroughly understand the third inquiry, that when we examine ourselves, we find ourselves to be as corrupted and contemptible as can be. But when we examine the operator who created us, we must be exalted, for there is none so praiseworthy as he. As becoming of the operator who created us, because the nature of the perfect operator is to perform perfect operations. Now we can understand that our body, with all its trifle incidents and possessions, is not at all our real body. Our real, eternal, and complete body already exists in the endless world, in the first state where it receives its complete form from the future third state that is receiving in the form of bestowal, in equivalence of form with the endless world. And if our first state necessitates that we receive the klipa of our body in the second state, in its corrupted and loathsome form, which is the will to receive for oneself alone, which is the force that separates us from the en sof, so as to correct it and allow us to receive our eternal body in practice. In the third state, we need not protest against it. Our work can only be done in this transitory and wasteful body, for one does not correct that which is not in him. And I am adding, what is not within us is perfection. That is, in the endless world, what is in us is perfection. Thus, we are already in that measure of perfection, worthy and fitting of the perfect operator who had made us, even in our current second state. For this body does not defect us in any way, since it will expire and die, and is only here for the time necessary for its cancellation and acquisition of our eternal form. And that is the end of section 17. Are there any questions? Section 18. This settles our fifth inquiry. How could it be that transitory, wasteful actions would extend from the eternal? And we see that indeed we have already been extended as is befitting for his eternalness. Eternal and perfect beings and our eternalness necessitates that the klipa of the body, which was given to us only for work, will be transitory and wasteful. For if it remained in eternity, we would remain forever separated from the life of lives. We have said before in item 13 that this form of our body, which is the will to receive for ourselves alone, is not at all present in the eternal thought of creation. For there we are in the form of the third state. Yet it is obligatory in the second state to allow us to correct it. And we must not ponder the state of other beings in the world, but man, since man is the center of creation, as will be written below. And all other creatures do not have any value of their own, but to extent that they help man achieve his perfection. Hence they rise and fall with him, without any consideration of themselves. I am adding, learn the spiritual law. All things are made up from components of the desires to receive. Some are acting from the desire to receive in order to share with mankind. These are animals and plants and inanimate items, as well as man-created items. Some are acting from the desire to receive for oneself alone. These are animals that reflect the state of their owner, plants that reflect the state of the farmer, items that are created that reflect the consciousness of their mankind creator. And learn this well. That's the end of section 18. Section 19. With that, we also settle our fourth inquiry. Since the nature of the good is to do good, how did he create beings that would be tormented and agonized throughout their lives? As we have said, all this agony is necessitated from our first state, where our complete eternity, which comes from the future third state, compels us to go either by the path of Torah or by the path of suffering, and to reach our eternal state in the third state. And all this agony is felt only by the klipa of our bodies, created only to be perished and buried. And this teaches us that the will to receive for himself was created only to be eradicated, abolished from the world, and to turn it into the will to bestow. And the pains we suffer are but discoveries of its nothingness and the harm in it. Indeed, when all human beings agree to abolish and eradicate their will to receive for themselves and have no other desire but to bestow upon their friends, all worries and jeopardy in the world would cease to exist. And we would all be assured of a whole and wholesome life, since each of us would have a whole world caring for us, ready to fulfill our needs. Yet while each of us has only a desire to receive for ourselves, it is the source of all the worries, the sufferings, the wars, and the slaughter we cannot escape. They weaken our bodies with all sorts of sores and maladies, and you find that all of the agonies in our world are but manifestations offered to our eyes to prompt us to revoke the evil klipa of the body. and assume the complete form of the will to receive. Excuse me, the complete form of the will to bestow. And it is, as we have said, that the path of suffering in itself can bring us to the desired form. Bear in mind that the mitzvot between man and man come before the mitzvot between man and God, because the bestowal upon one's friend brings one to bestow upon his maker. And I am adding, take special note of this above paragraph and please live by its statements. That's the end of section 19. Are there any questions? Section 20. After all that we have said, we come to the resolution of the first inquiry. What is our essence? Our essence is the essence of all the details in reality, which is no more and no less than the will to receive, as written in item 7. But it is not as it is now in the second state, which is the will to receive for the self alone, but as it stands in the first state, in the endless world, in its eternal form, which is reception in order to bestow contentment upon the maker, his maker, our maker. And although we have not yet reached the third state in actual fact, and we still lack time, it does not blemish our essence whatsoever, since our third state is necessitated from the first. Thus all that is bound to be collected is deemed collected, and the lack of time is regarded as a deficiency only where there is doubt whether one will complete what needs to be completed in a timely basis. And since we have no doubt about that, it is as though we have already come to the third state, and our body also, given us to us in its present corrupted form, does not blemish our essence. Since it and all its possessions are to be completely eradicated, along with the whole system of impurity, which is their source, and all that is bound to be burned and deemed burned, considered as though it never existed. But the soul that is dressed in that body, whose essence is also purely a desire, but a desire to bestow, which extends to us from the system of the four worlds of the holy Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, they exist forever. And this is because this form of a desire to bestow is in equivalence of form with the life of lives and is not in any way exchangeable. This matter will be completed in below. And I am adding, this section 20 is extremely important. Please understand what it is saying and what it means. The mistakes we make are illusion. The bodies that age and become older is an illusion. I suggest you think about how these paragraphs in section 20 apply to specifically to your life. And here is where we will end our class for tonight. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a beautiful evening, a wonderful week, and a life filled with healing, completion, and much shalom. Shalom to all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.